Oh my gosh, the Stars have even the series with the Vegas Golden Knights. I didn't think it would happen. I'm sure a lot of other Stars fans didn't think it would happen. Join me as a buddy of mine and frequent co-host Weldon joins the show to talk about what he thinks of the Vegas Golden Knights and Dallas Stars series thus far. It's now a best of three. Did y'all see it coming? Let's talk. Hey, there he is. What's going on, man?
Been a while.
Yes, sir. It's been a little mad around here. Quite literally and figuratively, it's been a madhouse.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Still doing the home remodel?
Yeah, they're about halfway done with the final bedroom, and then they're going to start the rest of the floor, and then, yeah, fun stuff happens after that, so yay.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, after, when they start doing the hallway and whatnot, that's when it's going to get even noisier, and I might have to take a longer break from the show at that point, so.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's going to get pretty messy.
Oh, well. You'll enjoy it when it's all done, so.
Yeah. What's that?
I said next year.
Go Stars. Let's talk about hockey.
So what have you taken from these four games?
Can you pass the ketchup? Cuz I'm eating my Look, I'm a Cowboys fan. So I expect, what do you call it, disappointment, I think. See, I don't even know the word. I've been in it so long. But yeah, I expected the Stars to be done. I really did. So I need some ketchup so I can eat my words.
Well, I mean, even if you look at it, the first two games that they lost at home, those games were so close. We've had, I think they brought up the stat last night of 9 one-goal games against Vegas. They've only blown us out at game 6 last year.
That was bad.
That was a bad game. But every other game that we played them, they're one-goal games. We're not that different. It's one mess up. One bad turnover, you know, Jake letting in one little soft one. You know, there were people that were ready to crucify him the other night, you know, when he had the 2-on-1 that he let in, and then a deflection in front of him that there was no way he could stop. You know, but oh, heaven forbid, it's all his fault. You know,
I mean, he can't do everything. He's a netminder. That's his job.
I mean, last night, I guess Vegas is going to blame, you know, Thompson for the goal that bounced off Dellandrea and into the, you know, and scored basically the game winning goal, you know. So, you know.
Are they actually blaming him, or is that just you talking?
Do what?
Was that? Are they actually blaming him for that?
No, I'm sure that Vegas is going to blame their goaltender, you know, for that. So
from the nonsense I've seen, man, they don't care. They're invincible. They're the Stanley Cup champions.
You know. Yeah, but fans are fans. I mean, you know. Here, I mean, we just had two of the best seasons in a row. You know, this year we're 1 point off of, you know, tying for the President's Trophy. Last year, the only reason why we weren't the Central Division champs is Colorado had won the games that they had to and beat us by 1 point.
Yeah.
And then you've got a couple of idiots on Twitter. Well, can we get DeBoer fired? He, you know, his system's just not working. Really? It's not, you know. We had, what did we have, 52 wins this season?
Yeah.
Something like that, and I think it was close to that last year, you know.
Yeah, it was. It was very close to even 50 wins, I believe. 50, 51, 52, yeah. Maybe.
It frustrates me with fans that are like that. You know, yes, there's guys that are going to have bad games. You know, that's just the way it is, you know.
Yeah, Vegas had a couple of people that were called out for having bad games too last night.
Yeah. Oh, from what I understand, I didn't hear, because as soon as the game was won, I went to bed. Because I had to be up this morning. Evidently, PK Subban unleashed hell on Vegas for playing gutless and no heart. And I thought Vegas played fairly well. You know, Dallas didn't play the game that they did before, the previous game. You know, it was more of a Dallas-style game, you know.
But yeah, for sure. I don't think Vegas even... No, I didn't see any change in energy they brought. They were the same old Vegas in my eyes.
Yeah, I mean, I think they changed up one player. You know, and I think he was a third-line guy, something like that. So...
And they brought the same energy too, minus one player. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, Vegas is not a bad team. We all love to hate them because of the way that they play the, you know, the cap and everything. But sorry, they're not the only ones doing it. You know, no. I think NHL Network said that there was 12 teams that I think it was. That were playing the same, you know, little game with the cap, you know. But until the Board of Governors decides to change the rule, you know, there's nothing they can do about it, you know. Dallas could have done the same thing. They could have put Sagan on LTIR and gone shopping, you know. But, you know, when you do that, it's like, everybody has played so well this year, you know, top three lines, you know, who, like, I think we've talked about this before. Who do you sacrifice? You know? So
you my know, answer is the same. I can't think of anybody you'd sacrifice at all. Everybody's important.
You know, I mean, now if you can go out and get Jake Guentzel or, you know, or a Noah Hanifin, you know, yeah, then you might, you know, I might let Steele or Smith or, you know, somebody like that, you know, yeah, y'all can go to the press box for a while and we'll work y'all in, you know, when you get a guy that can, you know, that scored, you know, I think 35 goals this year or whatever he scored, you know, if it's a big name like that, but then, you know, you've still got the thing is, will they fit in?
Right.
You know, I would have loved to have seen us bring another defenseman in, you know, other than Tanev, you know, because now with Hockenpah hurt, now we're reliant on Nils. And that's the other thing that everybody's griping about there, you know, because he played, what, a minute 21 last night.
Is that all?
That was his ice time last night.
Oh, my God.
The game before, I think he played less than 5 minutes. You know, and like I was just talking to a friend. Yes, he played a minute 9 last night. What, 3 shifts maybe? You know.
So essentially you're playing down a D-man if you play him like that.
You're playing 5 guys.
Yeah.
You know, Suter played, okay, let's see what the D-man played last night. Suter played 18 minutes. Let's see who else.
I'd like to add that I like the way Suter did last night. I saw people dogging him quite a bit.
Suter's been playing good. And when you don't notice him, that's when he's playing good. Because he's not messing up. He's not getting penalties. You know, he's not creating, you know, something else. So let's see. So Tanev played 22:04.
Oh.
Lindell played 21:36. Miro played 28:30. You know, Harley played 23:21. You know, so Suter sacrificed because he's got to be out there and babysit Lundqvist. You know, which they've been trying to keep Suter's minutes down, you know, because, you know, yeah, he's an older guy, but, you know, he can still go 25 minutes a night. And, you know, the guy doesn't look like he ever gets tired.
True indeed. But it's just,
you know, DeBoer, he doesn't trust him. You know, he still, and like I was telling a guy online, he still makes the same mistakes over and over and over again. You know, he makes bad turnovers. He makes bad passes that lead into turnovers. He makes bad reads. You know, he's Honka 2.0.
Oh, my.
And we all see what happened to Honka.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he went back to another league and, you know, I've never thought Nils was worth a first-round draft pick.
Never.
Especially last year.
Yeah, I see your point. I mean, I was curious about him, because why would you give up a first-round pick?
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure he was a first-round pick, but, I mean, he didn't last very long with the Rangers.
No.
You know, he played half a season with them, and I think then he got sent down or he was riding the press box. Yeah, he was an 18 first round, 28th overall.
Which, if he's only playing a couple of games before he was sent down or put in the press box, that leads me to believe he wasn't even what they thought he was,
mm-hmm.
You know?
He played 25 games with the Rangers, and then he was either sent down or he rode the press box. I don't know who. I can't remember who the Rangers AHL team is. Kitchener. Mm. Or no, it's not. Is it Kitchener?
The AHL team?
Yeah, I'm not sure. That would
be Hartford?
Okay. I only know a couple of them, but
I'm not quite sure either, to tell you the truth.
But yeah, so I mean, it's just he doesn't trust him, you know. I would have soon seen Pouliot in there, you know. He's been around the league a while, you know. Granted, most of it's been, you know, AHL and Pittsburgh and everything. But the games that he played in, he's very much a defensive defenseman. So,
and the fact that he's even remained in the AHL, I mean, that tells you at least he has a spot.
Yeah.
You know, like for for Lundqvist, I'm still scratching my head over it. Like, they gave up a first-round pick for him when New York wasn't even certain about him. Now we saw why New York wasn't certain about him, and we're kind of handcuffed.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, yeah, I'm with you. Like, why don't they switch it up? Because if I'm looking at his trends and stats and performance, man, I'm not putting him on the ice either.
Yeah.
He's not reliable.
He's had some goals. He's had some good plays, you know. But last year, he was 60 games. This year, he's now at, I think, I just looked, and I think it was 52 or 54 games this year before the playoffs. Ooh. You know, so is there something where he's hurt, or is it just that DeBoer doesn't trust him? You know?
Oh, he could be hurt.
You know, I mean, at least with Pouliot, he's been around since,
2014?
Yep. He was drafted in 2012. He was the 8th overall pick in the first round. You know,
8th overall. Ooh.
So, I mean, there was high hopes for this guy. You know, now he's bounced around a little bit. I mean, he's been in Pittsburgh. He's been in Vancouver. He's been in St. Louis. Oh, he even played in Vegas.
I didn't know that.
Played in Seattle. Wow, didn't know that either. So, you know. So, I mean, you know, he's got 9 years in the league. So, I don't understand why they're not putting him in and at least taking a little bit of minutes off these other guys in the early part of the playoffs.
That's a good point. I mean, even having him out there would lower the risk of injury too.
Yeah.
You know, put somebody fresh in, give somebody else a rest.
Yeah.
Everybody wins.
Because, I mean, I don't think Hakanpää is going to be back for the playoffs. Because they haven't even said if he's skating.
Oh, gosh.
You know, he's still here in Dallas. You know, while the guys bounce back and forth to Vegas, you know, he's still here in Dallas. So.
There's a red flag. What's he doing?
Well, I mean, he's injured, but.
Right.
But they're not saying what? They're not saying, you know. I don't even know if they said upper body or lower body.
I haven't seen. I barely knew he was hurt, honestly, until I just heard about it.
Yeah, let's see. He hasn't played since April 29th against Vegas.
April
29th? Yep.
That was yesterday.
I'm sorry. he's not going to play. That's what I was reading.
Okay.
Sorry.
No worries.
I thought I was going to be slick. No. But no, I know he hasn't played in a while.
I mean, like I said, I barely knew he was hurt. I think I heard about it once before you told me.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. Yike. Hakanpää, though. I mean, we need him.
Yeah, I mean, he would be nice to have just for his size.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Size equals hitting power, at least to me. And that's kind of what I've been afraid of. Are they going to get out hit and just, you know, beaten to all heck when this season or the series is all over?
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, Vegas is a big team. I mean, they have the biggest defense corps, I think they've said, of anybody in the league. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
they said that last night too, didn't they?
I think so.
I want to say it was like the third period. No, end of the second. It's when Josh and Razor talked about it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not afraid to hit you at all.
Yeah.
And that is the most frustrating thing to me, because I see the Stars as a finesse and speed team. It's like, that's only going to get you so far, too.
Yeah.
Because what if you end up, who did they say we would end up playing if we make it through Vegas? Was it Colorado?
It's either Colorado or Winnipeg.
Oh, goodness.
Now, they're a speed defense. Their defense is not as big as Vegas. You know, they rely on their speed. So,
I mean, in that case, well, they beat the living crap out of the Stars a couple times, too. Colorado did.
Yeah.
They were up 3-0, and Colorado came back and won 6-3?
Yep.
That, I wouldn't want to see that matchup either. Yikes.
Yeah, I mean, the Stars are going to have one of the toughest runs to get to the Cup. Because you could look at, I mean, basically it's almost a bubble reunion, you know, because we beat Vegas in the bubble, we beat Calgary in the bubble, we beat the Avalanche in the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
This year it could be, if we beat Vegas, then if we go on to, I mean, pretty sure that Avalanche are going to win tonight and shut that one down. And then you've got to look at who possibly comes out of the Pacific, you know. So
that could be a nightmare. But then again, you know, maybe Vegas is who they needed in the first round to show what they got.
Yeah.
Like that, what better way to say you're a real team, like you're playing for all the marbles, than taking down the Stanley Cup champs. Like,
yeah.
Ooh, yeah, you've changed my mind slowly but surely. Like, I thought they were done, but now I'm going, all right, well, if they beat Vegas, anything goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's always different in the playoffs, you know. Because, yeah, like, Stars would play either the Avs or Winnipeg, mm-hmm. depending on who wins. And then it's a good chance that out of the Pacific, the next round is going to be an all-Canadian. It's either going to be the Canucks or the Oilers.
Oh, I would love to see the Oilers.
So,
takes you back to the early 2000s.
If, you know, if it goes into being the Oilers and Dallas gets to play them, I might get to go see them.
Oh.
Because I'm going to be up in Canada after the 18th of May. So, again, I'm leaving early. So,
lucky you. I'm jealous.
Not really, because I'm giving up playoff tickets. Well, not giving them up, but I'm missing playoffs.
So. I mean, unless they make it through Vegas and, yeah, I don't know.
I'm trying to be positive. Like I said, it's been so close against Vegas. I mean, the teams are very evenly matched. You know, I think they've got a deeper line this year than what it was last year, just because of, you know, the couple of guys that they added, you know, and now we're going to have to contend with those guys because Hanifin signed a big contract. I think he signed 8 years with them.
He did.
Yeah. Yep. And then Tomas Hertl, he still has 6 years left on his. So, you know, both of those guys are going to be there for the next while.
Well, I mean, the good thing is you'll have some tape on them, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and the nice thing about them signing those two, you know, big guys are dealing with their contracts. That means they're not going to be able to sign some of their players that are UFAs this year.
Oh, shoot.
And there's four or five of them. And I hope Neil is smart enough to possibly take a look at some of those guys and go, yeah, we could use you here in Dallas. You know?
That'd be nice.
Especially since I think one of them is a defenseman. Trying to remember which one it was. But yeah, I hope this year that, you know, we upgrade our defense a little bit more. So
get a little bit
more size. I mean, we don't need to go, you know, oh my God, all our defensemen have to be 6'7". You know, we don't need that, but
I'd be all for at least three of them being 6'7", though.
Yeah. It would be nice.
Yeah, it would. My gosh, imagine having three big rigs back there. Holy cow.
Oh, that I read something the other day and somebody was like, oh, should we go, you know, should we go and try to get Big Rig back? And I'm like, why? He didn't play that well this year, you know. So it was like, why do we need to recirculate older players?
I mean, even then you'd be kind of screwed over too, because if he did have a big year where he racked up the points somehow, they're not going to be willing to give him up for very cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you kind of shot yourself in the foot with that.
Yeah.
And you're not getting him back anyway.
See, like over the next 3 years, unless the cap goes up a whole bunch of money, Vegas is going to end up shedding a lot of their D guys. Like Alec Martinez, he's up this year, 24-25. He'll be a UFA. 25-26, Shea Theodore and Braden McNabb come off as UFAs.
Oh.
You know.
Ooh.
So.
I wouldn't mind Alec Martinez.
I always liked Alec Martinez. I wish they'd have gone after him when he went out on the market. But I mean, at the end of this season, he's a UFA. So, you know.
Man, this is going to be a weird, not weird, maybe is the wrong word, but interesting offseason.
Oh, yeah. And then their forward group.
Uh-oh.
Jonathan Marchessault is a free agent at the end of this year, which you know that they would keep him. They'll offer him something. Mantha's going to be a UFA. Chandler is going to be a UFA, which I wouldn't mind Chandler. He's got some size to him. And William Carrier.
Oh, Carrier. Yike.
So, you know, there's going to be a lot of turnover in Vegas this offseason, you know. But, you know, they always find a way to, you know, bring in good players and, you know, are paying some guys really, really freaking cheap, you know.
Man, they just plug people in and continue on winning, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and it's like, you know, Jonathan Marchessault, he's making $5 million this year. You don't think he's going to get a big contract? You know, he's going to go somewhere and he's going to get a boatload of money. If they don't offer him big money.
True. He may decide he likes it where he is and say, all right.
Because, I mean, Eichel's making 10, Stone's making 9.5, Hurdle's making 6.7, and William Karlsson's making 5.9.
Golly. That's a lot of cash on the books.
Yep. And then come trade deadline, oh, everybody that makes over $5 million, y'all are all hurt, so we can go Christmas shopping.
Oh, geez. I didn't think we were going to take that turn.
Well, it's happened the last 3 years.
Yeah, and it probably will continue to, because...
Yep. So...
Ain't nothing changing.
So other than the last two games, what did you think of the Stars play in the two home games?
The first two
that they lost.
Man, when they were down 1-0 in like, what was it, the first 30 seconds or minute?
Oh yeah, on the power play with the supposed high stick.
Yeah, the supposed high stick. Yeah, everybody knows about that one.
Yeah.
man, that I was kind of shaken. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, oh boy, here we go. Because I kind of figured that maybe it would turn into like a shell shock sort of thing for the Stars.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I didn't think they would come back and even the series at all. I figured maybe games one and two would just kind of snowball.
Yeah. But I mean, they ended up battling back in both games, you know, and made them tight games.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't like, you know, Vegas just came in there and steamrolled them, you know. And because, I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there that surmise that their last game, what was it, against Chicago for Vegas, you know. Oh, they threw the game because they knew they would get Dallas versus if they won, they would get the Oilers. I think they've had a hard time with the Oilers this year. I haven't watched what their series was, but you know, because somebody had put up a meme and I don't know if Carrier said this or not, that they matched up against Dallas better than they matched up against the Oilers. That's why they lost to, you know, whoever.
I mean, if he did say that, I kind of like that cockiness because that's a good way to shoot yourself in the foot.
Yeah. But like I said, yeah. I mean, both games were heartbreaking to watch, you know, right down to the end. I mean, now the second one, yeah, they, you know, we stayed right till the end of it and everything. And it was like, okay, well, you know, they lost that one, you know, it's bound to happen. So,
yeah,
but it was like, they weren't, you know, they weren't bad games, you know, even the 3-1, it was still a one goal game because, you know, the last one was an empty net goal.
So, yeah.
You know,
I just didn't feel like they brought the energy for the first two. Like I felt like they were just kind of dragging their tailgates, keeping the language clean, you know?
Yeah.
Like it just, and to go from that to, okay, we're going to fight back down 2-1. Oh wait, now we're even.
Yeah.
What in the world just happened? Why didn't you play with that sort of energy? I'm looking for desperation, to tell you the truth, because it is the Stanley Cup champions. I don't care if they're one seed or eight seed. It's the champ.
Oh, yeah. It's still the champ until somebody takes it away from them.
Yeah. And Dallas could be the ones that do it. And I was hoping. Like, I had, I don't want to say hopes of a sweep, but, like, I wanted the Stars to win in six.
Yeah.
Or five. Five was brave, but, you know, I thought it could have been possible because, you know, you got the anger and frustration from the regular season that they could have built upon for all we know.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was just like games one and two happened. I'm like, what am I watching? It felt like I was watching, I don't want to insult them, but I kind of felt like I was watching kids play. Like just backyard hockey or something.
Well, it was just such a tight checking game. I mean, you know, Vegas knows how to play us. You know, we know how to play Vegas. You know, I mean, even going back to last year, I mean, first two games were, you know, won in overtime by Stars mistakes.
Yeah.
You know. So, you know, it's not like our guys can't compete with them, you know.
No, you just got to limit the mistakes.
Yeah, it's yeah, and that's all it is limiting the mistakes. And, you know, I mean, the first game when, you know, when they got the high sticking call, I came home and watched it the next day, and I'm like, that was bare. I wouldn't even necessarily call that one a high stick because he hit the guy in the just in the edge of the shoulder. And he threw his head back. And of course, the refs are behind him. So, you know, they're automatically going to call high sticking. You know,
that wasn't that the same game that we got an embellishment call against us too?
Yeah, that was, what was it? Miro got an embellishment call. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry.
How can you have a hook, but, oh, I embellished it. Well, did I not get hooked? Or, you know, so.
I mean, that's gotta play into it too. Like, you gotta make it so that you're not put under a microscope.
Yeah.
You know? And I think maybe that's where people, oh, do I want to address this with you? I kind of do. Have you seen the posts where people say that the playoffs and all that are rigged?
I've seen it.
Almost like you're watching wrestling. It's, everything's predetermined and whatever. And that stuff.
No, I don't think it's quite that bad.
Like, all you have to do is limit your mistakes, man, and play your game. And the refs don't play any part of it.
Well, I mean, and I'm sure if you've watched the Stanley Cup Finals, every year the refs swallow their whistles.
Yeah.
They let a lot of crap go. There was so much crap that went on between Vegas and Florida last year. Because I watched that entire series. I'm like, really? You're not going to call that? Oh, you're not going to call that one? You know, but you called that last game against Dallas, you know. That's the thing I don't like, is the refs, yes, having to insert themselves into the game, but then when the finals are here, oh, we're not going to get involved, you know. So,
yeah, I'm there with you. Like, if you're going to call something, call it.
Yeah, if it's a legitimate call, call it. I have no problems with that, you know. But like the other night when, who was it? It was one of our smaller guys that got his helmet ripped off in the crease and took a pop to the mouth, you know. Oh, no call on that one, you know. I don't remember.
Wasn't it Robo?
I don't remember if it was Robo or if it was Stankoven. Stankoven took the high stick or the elbow or something in the crease, and Bruce and Owen were like, well, mostly Bruce. He's like, well, you know, he's short and he's getting in there. So he's got to take that for, you know, he's got to know that that's going to happen. And it's like, no, if he got high stick, you're still supposed to be responsible for your stick.
Yeah, that's right.
It doesn't matter how short the guy is, you know, because Delandria got a high sticking last night when he popped somebody in the mouth with his stick.
Yep, I saw that.
You know, when they were jostling back and forth, and yeah, his stick got up, so I had no problem with that call. You know, it was a high stick or a cross check or whatever you want to call it, you know. So, you know, if it's a legitimate call, I have no problem with it. That's still the reason why I wish the NHL would go to, and I know they've talked about it, having an eye in the sky, having Big Brother watch over them, you know. Toronto's watching every game, you know, why can't they look and go, hey, that's, you know, that's a penalty. Oh, that, no, that's not a penalty. We went back and reviewed it right quick and no, that's not a penalty. You know.
Do they have penalty challenges?
No.
No?
The only thing is the offsides, which still, even the offsides is a garbage thing because they still don't put their cameras in the right places. You know, because I mean, the other night, what was it? Was it game two? Yes, when Marchment was offsides.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was 2 foot over. You know, okay, good. You know, you could easily see that. But when you've got a guy trailing his skate, and you're trying to see if his skate blade is still, you know, on the line, and everything, and all we get is a blurry picture. You know, I'm sorry, the NFL has where you can see a blade of grass to see if the receiver's toe is still in. Why can't they have that? These guys are moving way faster than the NFL guys are. Mm-hmm. You know? Why is there not that camera technology?
That's a good question.
Even in the goals, why is there not a camera that's directly above the goal, the goalie, looking straight down at the line? You know, like the one that was that they, which one was it that they challenged and the puck was spinning, you know, and they determined that it was a good goal. You know, and if it was in, it was in on a spin, you know, because when it hit one side of the net and then went right down the line, you know, from the goal, you know, to the crease, and they determined that it was a good goal. And it's like, okay, you're still looking at it as an angle. You need to look at it coming straight down.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, now sometimes, of course, the goalie's going to block, but, you know, there could just be some different changes that would make things a lot, you know, a lot better.
But see, and if they did make those changes, I wonder how much people would complain about it being rigged then.
Well, I mean, there's so much of that people are going to complain about. I mean, there's still people complaining that, and I'm one of them, that the lottery is rigged.
Oh, interesting.
You know, because last year's number one draft pick, Connor Bedard, would you have wanted him in San Jose or in Anaheim? Because they are not major, major markets. You've got to have him in Chicago, or you've got to have him in Boston, you know, or Pittsburgh, you know.
The Rangers, even.
Oh, yeah, even the Rangers. You know, I mean, the year that the Rangers got into the, you know, to the top three or four spots, you know, because, oh, they didn't make it into the bubble, so they should be able to get a, you know, a number one draft pick. That's BS. It's like I've argued with people for years that the number one draft pick, and it just the number one, should be a lottery for everybody. Every team is put in there. The one team that's pulled, they get the number one draft pick. Then after the on second all the way down, then it's how you finished.
Okay.
For the simple fact is, why does a guy have to give up 10 years of his career to play on a crappy team?
Solid point.
You know, how many years did Connor McDavid play on a crappy team? Yeah, he won all kinds of accolades for himself, but he just is just now starting to get sniffed into the playoffs. You know, and Bedard is going to be the same way.
Yeah,
you know. And honestly, I don't think Chicago should have had a pick this year at all because of, you know, what went on with their whole, you know, little shenanigans with coaching staff and everything. Yeah. So, but, you know, he's going to play on a crappy team for 5 years if he lasts that long, you know. He's already gotten his jaw broke because he was watching his own pass, you know. You know. At least we know that Stankoven can take a hit.
That man can go.
He got lit up last night. McNabb dropped him like a bad habit. You know? Yeah. Now Jamie came and paid him back, but you know, he took a shot. So
I like seeing that from Jamie too. That was nice.
Yeah.
Like, oh no.
Well, I mean, when you know, when we're out Foxa and we're out Marchment, you know, those are two of our better hitters, you know, and we're physical forwards, you know, Jamie's like, okay, you got to step up and, you know, take care of my kid, you know? So.
Did the same thing with Wyatt last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
He does not play with them youngins.
No, but he sure fits in well between them. I mean, they work well with him.
I mean, yeah, I think he and Pavelski are tremendous assets with those kids.
Oh, yeah.
I really do.
I mean, as long as Joe is scoring what he's doing, you know, what he's doing, 20, 25 goals a year, I'd keep signing him to one-year deals, you know, as long as they're favorable.
Heck yeah.
You know, I really hope that they can get Tanev to sign back up, you know, if it's a friendly deal. And I hope they can get Duchesne to sign back up. You know.
Oh man, Duchesne. Oh my.
You know, I'm hoping he gets going because he really needs to get going because, you know, he's looked really, really good and he's gotten some good chances. He just can't get one by anybody right now. So, but I mean, he is such a threat when he's on the ice because he just doesn't give up on plays.
I kind of think that's what they've been missing out on too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and he got Marchment going this year. He got Sagan going again, you know. So, I mean,
yeah,
this has been one of the best scoring groups, you know, in a very, very long time. So,
I mean, you wouldn't know that with Vegas, though.
Whew. Yeah. You know, and then next year, you know, we've got looking at Bork maybe coming up, Bichelle coming up. If, you know, if he, I don't even know when he's supposed to be back from, where was he go? He went to Sweden? Switzerland or something like that to play.
Yeah, he went back to his, I think his original team, didn't it?
Yeah,
didn't
he? I think so. So, you know, there'll be some new pieces coming in next year, and it's just like, okay, who's out, you know? So.
I hope Joe has a little bit of say in that, too, you know, keep the young guys going.
I think he does. I think, you know, I think he's got a little bit of say with, you know, with Pete and everything since they were together for, you know, several years there in San Jose. And I'm sure all the, you know, Joe and Jamie and Tyler and, you know, I'm sure those guys have a say in who they want to stay, who, you know, who to maybe bring up or go after. So.
Oh boy. I don't want to even think about the off season right now. Cause we have 3 games left.
Yeah.
Oh, but boy, that's going to be a heck of a time to have a show.
Oh yeah.
We could talk about that for days, I bet.
That's there'll be a lot to break down and, you know, see what people think and, you know, what happens with this team or that team or, you know, whatever. So.
I enjoy the heck out of this team right now. Like, I would kill everybody if I could, except for maybe Lundqvist. I don't know about him.
I'm not on his page at all as far as, you know, if they keep him or what. So,
but who do you put in his place?
Well, that's where they're going to have to go out and find somebody, or somebody from Texas is going to have to be get moved up and, you know, take his spot.
Dang.
Because like this year, like, so forwards this year, Pavelski, Duchesne, and Smith are all UFAs. Sam Steele is a restricted free agent, so we could possibly, you know, re-sign him, which I wouldn't doubt if they re-sign him for, Because hell, he's only making $850,000. So here's a million. You played good enough, you know. $150,000 raise.
I mean, I would do it.
I would take it, you know.
Heck yeah. Like I said, I wouldn't try to. Would I let any of them walk? I'm still kind of worried about Delandria too, because he's been in and out of the lineup as well. Mm. You know,
but you see how he plays when he comes back in. He's just like Hanley was when we had him.
Yeah,
he could sit for weeks at a time, and then they throw him back in, and it's like he's never missed a beat.
Which is why I would consider him an asset. Like, yeah, you've got to keep him on your payroll as long as possible.
Well, he's an RFA at the end of the year. He's only making $900,000, so.
I mean, I like him. Somebody called him, what was it, the little ball of sandpaper? Did you see that?
Well, he's not very little. I think he's like 6'3". Yeah. It's Stankoven that they've already nicknamed him the little ball of hate, because they said he plays like Pat Verbeek without the violence, you know.
Isn't that an oxymoron?
Yeah, kind of. But like defense this next year, UFAs are going to be Hakanpaa, Tanev, and of course Pouliot.
I'd keep them.
Nils is an RFA, so if they don't offer him anything, you know.
Who do you let walk on defense if it's you?
I would let Nils walk, or I would trade him, you know.
Would anybody want him?
Oh, I'm sure somebody would take a smaller offensive-minded defenseman. He would probably be great in the East, you know, where he started at.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
What sucks is next year, 25-26. Of course, everybody's dream comes true. Suter is done at the end of 26. But Esa Lindell's up for re-signing.
Ew.
There's no way in hell I let him go.
No, I'm with you. He's been pretty good.
You know.
Very good.
Because this year, the RFAs... for the end of this, or for the end of next year, 24-25, mm-hmm, are Nils and Harley. Harley's going to get a raise, you know, because Harley's only making $1.2 million, almost $1.3 million.
That's it.
That's it.
Wow.
He's making $1,288,333. How they come up with these numbers?
Why does it end in something besides a zero? That's, yeah, kind of creepy. Here's a three at the end of it. Enjoy.
And which is kind of a slap in the face to him. You want to know how much Nils is making?
Uh oh.
$1,775,000.
That's a tough pill to swallow.
He played less than 60 games this year. Where Harley, I think, played probably almost all of his games this year.
Gosh.
You know.
That's rough, dude.
Harley played 79 games. So he only missed three games.
That man's a workhorse. Three games.
Nils played 59 games. So Harley played 20 more games. And, you know, he scored 15 goals, 32 assists, you know, total 47 points. Still think he needs to shoot more because he only shot 144 times.
That should be a crime. What?
Miro shot 162.
Mero's got a shot on him, too.
Yeah, he does. Lindell shot 114. Nils shot 73 times. Suter, 102. Hakanpaa, 56. But he's a defensive guy. So
the only one that kind of sticks out like a sore thumb is Nils Lundqvist.
Yeah. Mainly because of what they're paying him. So.
Yeah, he's not earning that money. I know that.
No, I would say he's not earning his, his keep. And if it's just that the coaches don't trust him, why are you gonna possibly re-sign him, or right. offer him anything?
You want to go with somebody you can trust.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think he's a liability, he shouldn't even be on the team at all.
Well, I mean, that's why he's being played so little. Because
taking up roster space, though,
that's what I told the guy I was kind of arguing with online. I was like, "Do you want him on the ice if you're a coach and you don't trust him in a game that could either cost you a series or cost you moving on to the next round?" I'm like, no, I wouldn't trust him at all. Because if he's played 60 games and he's still making the same mistakes, why would you want to put him in the game and, let him make those same mistakes and then, cost you a goal? I mean, he cost us a goal in the last Colorado game just because he got muscled off the puck. And the guy that muscled him off the puck went and scored. So.
That's embarrassing.
I know it happens to every single one of them. I mean, there's been times that Miro's gotten outmaneuvered and the guy has scored. But coaches have full trust in Miro. They have full trust in Essa. And even as much as everyone hates to hear it, even in Suter,
Well, yeah, because they have a proven resume.
Yeah. I've never understood what the hatred for Suter is down here. I don't know if it's just because he's, one of the older players in the league or what, but,
That's actually what I see all the time. He's old and slow. What?
Yeah. There's a lot of old and slow defensemen out there. I mean, even at the end of Hatcher's career, he was old and he was slow. Now if he could line you up for a hit, that's a different story. But he can't be able to line you up for that hit. Suter's not a big hitter, but he's a sneaky hitter. And he always gets that little extra jab in there or something. Holy crap.
Uh-oh.
Oh no, I'm just scrolling through Facebook as we talk. And the hit that Jamie did on McNabb. Holy crap. I'm gonna send it to you. Hopefully it works.
I see it. I'm gonna have to watch it after this so I don't accidentally exit the show.
Oh, well, never mind. He flattened McNabb.
Yeah, he did.
But
it was a great hit.
But yeah, I mean, it's just never really quite understood the whole hatred on some of the players and everything. But
here's something for you. Somebody said the same thing about Pavelski that I saw about Suter.
Oh yeah. That he was old and slow.
I mean,
but he still put up what 20 something goal over 20 goals this year.
More than that, he can help the young guys.
Exactly. Like,
come on. He doesn't need to score if he's helping the young guys produce.
Well, and plus he gives the young guys a place to live, you know.
What player do you know besides Joe Pavelski that does that? I've never seen that many stories about it.
I haven't heard that much about it. Because from what my wife was telling me the other day that she read online that Stankoven only stayed in his apartment or, you know, whatever he was staying in when he got traded up or brought up here. Hotel, that's the word I was looking for. He's now living with Joe. So now not only does he have Wyatt there, he's also got Stankoven there.
God, just put those three on a line together.
Well, I mean, it worked for Wyatt there for a while, you know.
That would be crazy. Yeah. All right, well, let me ask you this, though. You got three games left in the series, right?
It's a best of three.
What do we do? What can the Stars do to turn it around and beat Vegas?
They just keep doing what they're doing.
That's it.
They haven't played them bad all year. Well, I mean, this series, they haven't played them bad. Even the two games that we lost, one goal games, one was because of a BS penalty. You know, limit their mistakes, stay out of the penalty box, which, you know, they've been pretty, what'd they have, two penalties last night? I think it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't much last night. So, you know, stay out of the penalty box. And when you get a power play, they've got to convert on them.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So.
I mean, you can't sit there and say that the game's rigged if you're not even scoring on the power play, you know?
Yeah. We had 4 minutes of penalties last night. Suter got one, and Delandria got the one for the high stick. I don't remember what Suter's was. Oops.
Gosh. That's pretty good.
Vegas, 2, 4, 6. They had 6 minutes of penalties. So they were 1 for 3, you know. So that's good, you know.
33%.
Yeah. So, you know.
Even that's below 50, though. It's
yeah. Like still well, it's still 30%. They're still, you know.
50% is an F, though, you know.
Yeah, but if you're 1 for 3, you know. Because Vegas, or who was it last year? Edmonton was running at 37% of scoring on the power play last year. That's why everybody was scared to death to, you know, let them get on the power play because they were so freaking good.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, even this year, I mean, we were still, I think, what, top 8 of in power play?
We were all up and down the top 8 from what I remember.
Let's see.
Just depended on the month.
Let's see. Goals for, we were 3rd. Goals against, we were 8th. Assist, we were 3rd. Shooting percentage, we were 4th. Power play, we were 6th at 24.2%.
Okay, so they scored on basically a 4th of their opportunities.
Yeah. Penalty kill, we were 8th, which that went up and down.
Yeah.
And penalty minutes, we were 1st. We took the fewest.
That's awesome.
Okay. And you think about it, and you look at their penalty minutes of 554, you know. It's like, how many of those? Yeah, because we didn't have a lot of fights this year, you know.
No, we didn't.
You know. So it's like, bring that down even more, you know.
Yeah.
Let's get it down to under 500, and, you know, we'll call it, you know, call it good.
I can agree to that, yeah. Yeesh. Well, all right. The next game is tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow at 6:30. Jeez, glad I'm off.
Oh, I know, late night.
Well, it was, well, no, it's 6:30, so that means doors open at 5.
Oh, and you're going, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, of course I'm going. I always go. I'm a true Stars fan.
Hey, 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 some of us have circumstances.
Yes, now. Yes, I understand that.
I'm always watching. I'm annoying people with it, too.
Yeah, even though you're, you know, sometimes a little behind, and it's like, they'll score, and I'll flip on Facebook, and it's like, okay, let's see how long it takes him to post up who scored, you know? Like, what are you doing, playing cards?
You know? So you're watching for my updates, even though you're there.
Make sure you got it right. So
you know what? I'm honored. That's cool.
That's why I pick on you when it's, you know, when you're a little bit late, and be like, wow, doing something else.
Yeah. Hey, let me add this to the discussion too. The last time they won, I did fall asleep. I didn't watch a minute of the game. I stayed up the whole night last night, all the way up until the very end, and then I crashed.
Yeah. Oh, that's the way I was. It's like work has been slow for us right now because we're in our down part of the season. So it was like, okay, these 8:30, 9:30 games, they're not bad because, you know, we get home at 1 o'clock and then I can sleep until, 8 o'clock and I'm fine. But, man, last night when it was like, okay, the game's over at 11:30 and they're hugging Jake and I'm turning the TV off. And I was like, I'm not even waiting for the interviews. I'll watch those tomorrow.
I mean, yeah.
Because I had to be up at 4:45 and on the road by 5, so that was a nice long drive to drive 100 miles. So
I do not envy you at all.
So it was as soon as the game was over, I was done and going to bed. So probably go to bed early tonight. So
yeah, I'm with you because my stomach flipped out on me too. So I slept like 2 hours. I'm exhausted. I'm sitting here just kind of like, I need more coffee.
So, but yeah, right. if you want to work another show after this next game and kind of break it down a little bit and then vent on players and, you know, whoever else.
Yeah, I was just about to say, free to do another one on Thursday, maybe?
Yeah.
All right. Well, then that sounds like a good time to meet up again.
Yeah. And we can talk about, Danny White coming back to the Cowboys. And since they're bringing Zeke back, you know, might as well.
Oh, man. Do I have something to talk to you about off the mic? Because I don't want to have to edit that out.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow. We'll leave on that, and then you can call me.
All right. Sounds good to me. Wait. Whoa. 3 keys to win tomorrow. What do you got?
No penalties. Or very, very few.
Like 4 penalty minutes?
Yeah, that would be good. 2 would be better, but, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
Depending on who our ref is, you know.
Oh, that's shameful.
Depending on who the refs are. And now I'm starting to look, and, you know, every time we're at a game, and it's like, oh, okay, well, let's see how this guy is. And so...
That's shameful.
And they've got, if there are penalties, they've got to be able to kill them off, which they've done good at that. I mean, their penalty kill has been good. And they've got to capitalize when they get power play.
Okay, so special teams as a whole.
Special teams as a whole.
And what else? We'll go consistency.
Yeah. I mean, they've just got to keep playing the way they're playing, you know.
They felt like, to me, they felt like they were a little more aggressive to the puck last night.
I think the night before they were way more aggressive to the puck and moving it than they were last night.
Yeah, solid point. But I mean, I was thinking just on the level of aggression, like,
yeah,
they brought it again is yeah. what I was going.
Yeah. Like, oh, and hopefully when, you know, they get their home crowd behind them, you know, they play well. I mean, granted, they have been the league's best road team all year, but they got to win one at home if they want to win this.
Yeah.
You know, it would be awesome for them to win tomorrow night and then go back to Vegas and beat Vegas in Vegas.
Oh, talk about humble pie. Oh, my.
We've sent them home once before. You know, because I've still got the screenshots of White Cloud holding his hands and his, you know, his head in his hands when they scored on the power play to send them home when they were in the bubble.
Was that White Cloud or was yep. that one yeah, of the
White Cloud boys? There was White Cloud. I've got shots of White Cloud doing it. I've got shots of Matthew Tkachuk looking like he's going to pull his hair out.
That's right.
And the shot of McKinnon with that dumb look on his face of how the hell did they just score, you know, to send all three of those teams home.
Oh, so. Man. Well, I hope whatever they brought the last two games, I hope they bring it again tomorrow.
Yeah. So they've got to win one at home.
Yes.
You know, you can't let Vegas win and then go back to Vegas and have their crowd into it. Because, I mean, Vegas has an awesome crowd. No matter what people say that, oh, they don't know anything about hockey because they're a brand new club. They have an awesome crowd. They may not know anything about hockey per se, but they're loud, you know, they get into it, you know, the atmosphere in there is really, really cool.
It is.
I mean, it's
freaking dragons.
Yeah. I mean, it's very cool. You know, I hope when whatever the hell Utah decides to call their team, I hope they come up with that kind of stuff too. You know,
That's going to be fun.
So, but
what?
Yeah.
All right.
They got to find a way to win tomorrow night. It's all I can say. Jake's going to have to play the way he's been playing. I mean, he hasn't been playing bad. One goal I think he probably should have stopped was the deflection goal from Stone, you know, on that very first game. But after that, he's pretty much settled down and played lights out. I mean, you know, I don't blame any of the goals that have happened on him. He hasn't gotten beat on a soft goal. You know, somebody was complaining last night that, oh, he let that deflection in. I was like, he stopped the deflection. His hands were up in his chest. Wyatt was right there. Wyatt should have gotten that puck quicker than what he did. I put that on the forwards. Forwards have got to be able to clear those pucks out of there. So, you know.
There's a key to winning the game, too, then. Goalie support.
Yep. So. All
right. Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I'd like to see some urgency goalie support, and maybe some crowd noise.
It's fairly loud in there. That's on Jeff K. or whoever's running the production in there, it keeping the crowd going. So,
I mean, that's not to say that we can't take over.
Oh, no. And I mean, it's fairly loud in there.
It is.
So,
but you saw Vegas too, their fans were always loud.
Well, their DJ's pumping them the entire time. They've always got something going. You know.
Okay. So you give the credit to the DJ,
or whoever's running in-game operations. It's, you know, yeah. Like when Droobs was here, you know, he was pretty good about keeping the crowd pumped and everything. So, but
yeah.
So yeah. So it should be a good game tomorrow night. If they can win one at home, you know, they've got a shot at this, you know. So
do you feel like they have the energy to continue what they've been doing and win?
I do, because I don't think they've been overtaxing anybody, you know, where they're having to play so many minutes other than Miro. I mean, but Miro's just, he's a freaking machine. I mean, he can play 30 minutes a night and they interview him and he doesn't look like he's tired.
Yeah. No, he doesn't.
You know, so I think, you know, I think they've got the energy that, you know, they can still do it. They've just, they got to get out there and do it. I mean, I'm sure today was probably an optional skate, you know, because they probably got in late from Vegas last night. So, and because like when I went to practice last week, there was nobody on the ice. And I'm like, where in the hell is everybody? They, you know, they said there was a practice. And so we're sitting there, you know, about 45 minutes before practice is starting. And Wedgwood walks out and he comes over and says hello to me and everything. And I'm like, is anybody skating? He's like, no. He said, it's an optional. He said, but we're doing film mostly today. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, it'd be great if y'all would put that out over the internet that, you know, nobody's coming out for practice. He's like, I will pass that along. So he's like, that's above my pay grade. So,
oh, the irony. Never mind.
Yeah. You know, he's a good guy. So you saw that I made the stick trade with him, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, he came That'd over awesome. And he came over and thanked us, you know, for the blanket and thanked my wife for the baby gift and everything. So
that's amazing, dude.
Yep. So now I got to figure out a way to, you know, get to Stankoven next year and make a trade with him and try to get a stick out of him, because I ain't paying what the Stars want for one of his sticks.
Is it crazy?
It's about $650. That's more than I want to pay to stick something on my wall, you know.
Gonna sit here and bite the inside of my cheek and not say a thing.
Yeah. I can buy a really nice firearm for that price. So, but I've made the trades with a couple of guys now. I've made them with both goalies, so.
There you go.
But anyway. Keep trading. Yeah. So, yeah, just hit me up with a time on Thursday, and we'll recap the show. I'll have to take some notes. I'll probably watch it again on Thursday. Take some notes.
See, that's why I love having you on, and that's why I love you, man. You always got my back.
Because all I'm going to worry about at the game tomorrow night is watching us, you know, score. So,
I mean, hey, I'm going to lose my voice here at home, so I'm with you.
Yep. So, all right, man. Well, we will talk to you again on Thursday.
All right. Sounds good to me. That's it for us, Stars fans. Weldon, any parting words, man?
Go Stars.
All right.
Go get that next win.
Yes. We need it.
All right, man. We will talk to you again on Thursday.
Yes, sir. Take it easy.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Dallas Stars! Dallas!